Hi, everybody. It's Ben. Just wanted to put a quick message here up at the front to let you know that the audio quality on this episode is not up to the usual standards, and I'd like to apologize in advance for that. One of our audio files got corrupted, and as such, I had to use my backup, which is recorded directly from Discord via OBS. So you might notice occasional echo here and some quality that, like some audio quality just kind of not being as nice as normal. So I do apologize, but that's why I have backups for situations like these, so that we don't lose a whole episode, and you can still listen to it if you want. I totally understand if the audio quality is not okay for you. Sorry about that, but did my best here to clean this up as much as I could. And hopefully you will still enjoy the discussions we have. And next time we should be all good. Thank you so much and enjoy the episode. Bye. Welcome to Updated Autopsy Report, a podcast from Yotsuben and Friends where we replay the entire Ace Attorney series with longtime fans and newcomers. I'm your host, Ben, and with me today is Desi.
Hello!
Two good friends of ours, Tiago.
Yo!
And Rose.
Hi!
We just had a conversation about volume levels in recordings, so if you can't tell...
Apparently there's something wrong with mine.
Oh my goodness. Desi and I are the longtime fans, and Rose and Tiago are the newcomers. We hope that through both of our perspectives as we play through the series, it'll reveal new details and provide interesting commentary for a series near and dear to us. Today, we have all played the first two segments of Ace Attorney Spirit of Justice, Turnabout Revolution. This is a long case, and we are breaking it up into several chunks. And in some ways, this is kind of its own case all on its own.
It dead ass is. Why is it part of the last one?
I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. The summary today for these first two chunks. Apollo and Trucy are at the office watching a video of Dirk declaring a revolution on TV, when suddenly the man himself strides in through the front door, patting Apollo on the back and acting like a dad. He reveals that he's here in the U.S. because the Founder's Orb is also here in Crane Village with an archaeologist named Archie Buff. Also, Dirk hands Apollo a photo of his real biological dad, musician Jove Justice.
Insane.
The two head over to Buff's office in Crane Village, but find Emma Sky there, as the man apparently died from a very unsuspicious fall in his office. They poke around, cannot find the orb, mention that Dats a Rebel is also here, and then bump into roving politician Paul Attition.
The worst one?
Oh, yeah. I was about to say. Before you ask, this is not the worst pun in the game.
I literally stopped you on the foot to get to my pit.
Paul says he's also looking for the orb, but it's actually the crystal of Amifei and belongs to his family as an heirloom. Apollo and Dirk trace Buff's last steps to hopefully find where he hid the orb. This leads them into a dangerous and water-filled cave, and also the orb itself. The cave begins filling with seawater, and Apollo can't swim, so surely he's gonna die.
I'm sure they retconned that, too.
Dirk, of course, rescues him at the last moment, and the two return to Crane Village. There, Phoenix Wright appears and reveals that he's been retained by Paul Attition as his attorney. With two parties both claiming the orb is theirs, the first ever Ace Attorney civil trial begins, with Apollo on one side and Phoenix on the other. During court, Buff's kid, Army Buff, who pilots a little drone helicopter around, gives vital testimony that reveals Archie had indeed discovered the trick to the Founder's Orb. Apollo and Athena heat the orb up with fire, and it reveals the face of the Holy Mother, proving it's the Founder's Orb and not the Crystal of Amifei. Phoenix is absolutely distraught by this, as it's revealed that he has been blackmailed into taking Atishan as his client. Maya will supposedly be killed if Phoenix doesn't win the case. However, Apollo points out that Atishan only that the only person who can channel the Holy Mother right now is Maya herself. So he's actually stuck in a catch-22, and Maya must be left unharmed to obtain the power that Atishan so desires. He crumples. Also, we reveal that politician was actually the one who killed Archie Buff by dropping a heavy suitcase on him, so I guess it wasn't a civil trial after all. And then they all say they're going to Krain, I guess.
You act like you forgot the last part.
They kind of just go, all right, well, anyway, we're going to head out here now. We're going to go back to Krain.
Guess we better make sure Maya's okay.
This mini case.
This case was good.
It's fun. There's some interesting stuff going on here.
I had a fun time.
So yeah.
It was fun. It was just Phoenix and Apollo. Sadmati wasn't there.
There's a lot of things I like about this case, but one of them is the fact that like this is the exact thing that Des wanted, which is just investigation and then just court.
Yep.
We got that. It was pretty good. We got to play as Apollo, my favorite little guy. Just want to pinch his cheeks. What a cool guy. Okay, we can both have the same favorite little guy. Is that okay? Can we share Apollo? Yeah. Can I get him on weekends?
Joint custody, yeah.
No. I gotta go to civil court.
Come on. You gotta make me fight for him. He's 25.
He's a grown-ass man.
I'm pretty sure it's up to him who he wants to see on weekends at this point.
True.
And it's not Dirk, clearly.
Dirk, how do we feel about him on the dad scale? Good dad, bad dad?
He's awful, all right. Dad.
Awful. All right, we're getting awful, we're getting all right.
He's Ben?
All right. I'm poisoned by knowledge. I can't.
You're poisoned by knowledge.
I
okay.
Plead the fifth.
You plead the fifth. Okay, that's the most suspicious thing ever possible. Apparently.
I mean, we're getting more Dirk through the rest of the case, if you couldn't tell, right?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, this
feels sad, and this is so sad, less forced than Clay.
Yeah.
Like, it still feels weird, but it feels less, I don't know.
Less contrived.
It's a little bit better. It's still kind of like staple a backstory onto this man.
Here's the thing.
But they
is
put
that,
a little more care into it this time, I feel like.
Did we ever see Clay? Did we ever talk to him?
No, he fucking died. He got murdered.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is that, like, that's the difference, right? Is that Clay never actually got to, like, interact with us, the player.
Right.
Whereas Dirk, showed up at our doorstep with sushi. With funny little sushi.
Yeah, he did show up with, like,
also, like,
a tray.
But you know what's weird? Like, why was the news just fucking showing a terrorist demand video? Like, I'm pretty sure they don't do that.
Not typically, no.
That's not a normal thing that happens in the real world.
Is
weird
it
vibes.
Do we not see that? Okay, well,
listen, you can find everything on the internet, but they're not usually fucking showing it on, like, Channel 5.
You know what? Considering the actual current events of geopoliticals in the year 2024, I agree with you. I'm just going to move. I thought about the real world for a second, and it scared me. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just, yeah, fair play. Why the fuck is Dirk there? He shows up. He has sushi. He looks at Trucy and goes, oh, what a cute little friend you have. Yippee, you're making friends.
Yeah.
And Apollo goes, I don't feel great with having you here with me right now.
Yeah, he's like, I haven't seen you in years, and you just show up and try to act like the cool dad. You want something, don't you? And Dirk's like, well, you got me. I do kind of want the Founder's Orb, and it's here.
I can't believe that in the years that Apollo has worked for the Phoenix Wright Anything Agency, that he hasn't been to Kurain Village.
Right.
Because, like, he knows Pearl. He knows Pearl Fae. So, yeah. Like, when Dirk goes, the orb's in a funny little village called Kurain Village, and Apollo goes, I think I've heard about it once or twice, but I never been. We've never been to Pearl's house for, like, tea and cookies? Like, we can't visit our friends? Our homies?
Hell no.
It's like, Apollo, you grew up in Kurain, and Kurain is kind of like little Kurain.
Yeah. No, but you gotta remember, Apollo made it a point to forget his past. That's why we, the player, didn't know about it in Apollo Justice or Dual Destinies. He literally says, I tried my best to forget that because my father left me in Japanifornia, which is, like, low-key better than the Kingdom of Kurain because there's not a weird dictatorship.
Yeah.
Fucking.
And he...
I think I like Dirk. That's the issue. You know what I mean?
Is that right? Yeah, I love him. Design. I think I love him.
I think I love him. He's okay, so we all love Dirk, but we all admit that he's a shitty dad.
I said he was okay.
I mean, have you met me?
Fair play. Alright.
Dirk also, like, shoves this crumpled photo of Apollo's real dad, his biological dad, into his hands and goes, it took me a lot of work to get this. Take it. And Apollo's like, I never met the dude. This doesn't really mean much to me. And he's like, well, take it. Anyway.
I wish he was like his father was like a JoJo or something. I heard Jove and I was like, JoJo?
Yeah.
His last name is Justice. That's like pretty JoJo-esque.
He's JoJo? Joe Justice?
Yeah.
It's possible.
Apollo does kind of have a stand, right? Like with the psycho eye attack.
Yeah.
He can use, all right, what's a good stand name for it? Eyes Without a Face by Billy Idol. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
I got there a little too quick for my own liking. We go to Kurain Village. We go see the archaeologist house, which is also it has public access, which is weird, right? People are allowed it. Like, it's like a museum, sort of.
I mean, he had a lot of people coming and going. I don't know if it's public access per se.
First, I want to ask. Dirk asks you if you'll be his lawyer. What did everybody pick?
Oh, I said yes immediately because I wanted the plot to progress. Uh-huh. What did you pick?
I picked no. And you know what happens? Apollo starts saying something immediately that's super reasonable, like, listen, you asshole, you just showed up here out of nowhere and you want me, and Trucy immediately interrupts him and is like, yes, we're doing it, shut the fuck up.
Well, Trucy wants to hunt for adventure. She's like, yeah. She's at that age when she wants to hunt for adventure.
I looked at that and I said, I know what's going to happen, which is the game is going to make me do it anyways, but let me try saying no. Let me help out my man.
What funny little saying do you get if you say no?
What do you mean?
Like, when you know that you have to say yes to something, you just say no to see what the silly dialogue says.
Yeah, but what if it, like, actually ended the game for me? You know what I mean?
I didn't want to be, like, coerced into being some guy's lawyer just because he's my shitty adopted dad who I haven't seen in 10 years.
I was playing the game as Apollo, and Apollo would absolutely bend like a fucking leaf. You know what I mean? Like, he'd fold so quick. He folds to Trucy, he folds to Athena, he folds to Phoenix, right? This man folds like a napkin, and that's why I love him.
Just for Trucy.
I think he folds to Athena.
Well, I don't think it matters if he does or not, right? Because she's just going to do whatever anyway.
Right.
Bro. And then Apollo Justice was literally him just folding the Phoenix Wright, because Phoenix Wright would go, hey, defend this guy. And Apollo would go, like, fine, fuck it. I don't care.
Listen, I'm trying to give this man some character development, and you're not helping me.
It's not our job to give it character development. It's Capcom's.
Well, they're not doing it, so somebody's gotta.
We, I think he had character development in this exploratory, in the investigation phase. When he got to go cave diving. Spelunking.
Yeah. You would never catch me cave diving, listeners. Get that shit out of here.
If you go in a cave, you're signing your own death warrant.
Do not go in a cave. Love cave diving and it's your favorite hobby, please stop doing it.
If you take a map of disappearances in America and a map of the underground cave system, it's like one for one. All right, this shit sucks. Don't go underground. God gave us the sky and you're spurning him.
Just play Minecraft.
Hang on.
What? Mole people listeners, please ignore us.
Yeah, if you're a mole person, shut the fuck up.
Well, that's not what I'm saying.
I was about to say, speaking of Athena, but we moved past Athena really quick. What did everybody think of the way that they preoccupy Athena?
Literally insane.
She's supposed to be picking up Phoenix from the airport.
And she went to the wrong airport and then fell asleep.
It's revealed at the end of the case that that's what happened. She just went to the completely wrong airport.
Like, probably LAX, right? Like, how do you fuck that up, Athena? Like, yes, there are multiple airports in the greater Los Angeles area. I'm very aware of this. However.
But if you're coming in from Kuraine, you're coming into LAX.
I think he just drank a bunch of NyQuil on the way. Like, that's the only fucking explanation I can think of. Fucking. Or Benadryl, because why the fuck would he just fall asleep at an airport?
Yeah.
Pop a couple antihistamines.
Yeah, she had an allergy to someone's bullshit and then was just like, alright, I got this. And then fell asleep at fucking the other airport in Japanifornia. Which I don't know the name of the actual airport in California. I know there's LAX, but I don't know the other one.
There's San Diego International.
LAYLAZ.
Do you think that the location of like where we have our law office, do you think that's in San Francisco?
I was just sort of assumed it was LA.
Yeah, I think they've actually said the words Los Angeles at one point, I'm pretty sure.
What? They reference the City of Angels?
I believe they do at one point.
City of Angels.
Wow. So much to learn.
But so they go into Archie's Archie buff, because he's an archaeologist buff.
Mm-hmm. Is that the worst one?
No.
Okay.
Don't worry. You'll know it. It will smack you in the face upside down, one side the other. You'll know it. He has a kid here. We don't meet this kid right at this moment, but we as you're examining this whole room where he fell off of his ladder supposedly and conked his head and
couldn't get up in the morning.
For a guy who has a daughter in a wheelchair, why do you have a full flight of steps up to get inside your house and then a spiral staircase down to get into your study? Your kid is in the wheelchair when you moved to this place. You moved to Korean Village for the sole purpose of your kid recovering after like this tragic fire that you lost your wife, you know, and the kid's mother in. And he moves to a house that is two floors with no elevators or any disability accommodations at all.
I didn't think about that.
I mean, it's a contrivance, right? So that we can have the murder happen.
Yeah.
Right.
I knew it was going to be important because they keep being like, it's weird that there's a second floor. What a strange room. And I was like, okay, something's going on.
Houses have second floors. I didn't think it was that weird.
Funny little balcony. I thought it was a very charming office. Honestly, I thought it was lovely.
It's a nice layout, but it just doesn't make a lot of sense for his family life.
I mean,
you can't just like go out and buy a house that has, you know, wheelchair ramps built into it unless somebody put those in.
But like, it's crazy that
nobody thinks that way.
He's been here for like a long time, though.
It was like 5 or 6 months or something like that, I think, is what they said.
I think month two is when it becomes like, all right, when are we getting this shit? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like the first month you're like, all right, I get it. There's a process, yada, yada. But no, the Archie Buff is too busy dusting his goddamn statues, apparently.
We've also got lots of like previous
and setting
items.
Setting them on fire.
And setting them on fire.
Yeah, we've also got a lot of previous items from other cases showing up here. Like the
statue of Ami Fei.
Yeah. And the
vase. Ami Fei vase.
Yeah. It's all of it's here.
A relief from the Kingdom of Kuraine in the wall.
Honestly, thank God that later in the case, like, they're like, yeah, this dude stole all these artifacts. Like, he stole them.
He took them
illegally.
But he was going to return them to their rightful owner.
Yeah, sure
it's
he
so
was.
Funny. It's so funny, like, to give him, like, a noble, like, thief kind of vibe. Like, oh, he stole them to study them, and then he was going to give them back. He always gave them back.
Phoenix Wright literally goes several times, all respect due to the dead. I think he was going to return, though. He goes out of his way to be like, Archie Buff is a cool guy, everybody. We all love him. All right, we're all fans.
Yeah.
We got that, everybody? Fucking Christ. So, like, we have to investigate because it's like, we're trying to find the orb. Where did it go? And then, like, Emma Sky is there and is like, oh, by the way, someone died here. Your doctor friend, he ganked it. And honestly, Emma Sky, pretty uncool of you to, like, not tell us that until we reached the location. You couldn't tell us when we met you outside the village, bro? What the fuck? I thought we were homies. Like,
yeah.
It's probably one of those situations where she's like, well, you didn't ask.
Oh my god. Yeah, you're right. She's too busy dusting for snackies or some shit. Oh,
her luminol isn't actually luminol, it's just snacku dust.
True. Oh my god. I don't want to think about that. That means everything's sticky. I don't like that. Bad texture. So Dats a Rebel gets arrested because he was caught loitering, and like we had to go visit him in the slammer.
Yeah.
And he goes, wow, this slammer is great. They got food here. I'm actually having a wonderful time. You guys should get arrested.
It's so nice compared to Kuraine's prisons.
The one where they apparently whiff me or some shit. I don't know.
the maximum security prisons on top of the peak of a mountain.
That you have to get to by getting fucking helicopter dropped onto. He gives us some more information. We have to go back to Archie Buff. That's when we meet the funny drone, Sarge. Sarge is a drone. No, Sarge is the kid Buff, but wants to be called Sarge. They can't leave the room. They've got agoraphobia. So,
That means they have a fear of Gormagala.
Yeah, they have a fear of Gormagala and Al Gore. And just gore in general.
Right.
So they communicate to us through the drone. It has a gun. It has a minigun. It shoots BBs?
Yeah.
It has to shoot BBs, right?
Yeah.
Because otherwise we'd be dead. We got shot several times.
Yeah. This drone is a lot.
The drone has emotions. Very convenient. We quickly... Dirk realizes in his rebel mind that the only way to connect... to get more information is to connect to this other soldier. So he just goes like to Apollo and goes, hey, talk to this kid. And was like, you don't want to do it, Dirk? You're the like rebel leader, aren't you? Can't you talk about like army shit? And he goes, no, I think you're a kid and you can talk to kids, right?
You're a kid.
And I'm like, you too lost a parent in an arson.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Okay.
Did we?
Yes, Job Justice died in the fire.
Oh, I forgot. Just like, honestly, just like Jonathan Joestar. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. One thing I do.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I don't know if this happens yet. We meet politician who apparently is not the worst pun in this game.
That's actually kind of insane. I was playing this entire chapter thinking that, like,
I thought it was him. I was like, oh man, this is it. This is really quite bad. Haha. There's at one point he gets angry and like does like a custom animation where he like exerts spiritual pressure or whatever, and I was like, this is sick.
he's a fucking stand user.
It has its own sound. I thought it was like, this is great.
That's what blackmail sounds like.
That's the power of blackmail.
Yeah.
I was like, this rules. We don't see it again for the rest of the, I'm sure we will see it again, but for this segment, we do not. It's just like a one-time thing.
Politician is a Paul. I'm just gonna call him Paul because I refuse to call him his full fucking
I can't call
name.
Him that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't call him Paul either, but.
Oh, fine. Mr. Attition. Mr. Attition is campaigning to be the mayor of Corain Village, and he thinks that this will get him to, of course, being king. Something that he says multiple times, which
the
makes
king
me think.
California.
I actually straight up think that Japanifornia might actually have a king. Like, is there.
You don't think that the joke is that he's completely misinformed and about how politics work? It is that
I think
Japan
none of us
has a king.
Has anyone seen the leader of Japanifornia? My headcanon is that there's straight up a king. There's Japanifornia has a monarchy. And that's why it's like this. That's why this entire country is filled with people who murder each other over stupid bullshit. It's because we have a monarchy.
Right.
As opposed to the smart, cool bullshit that people are murdering each other about in real life.
Yes, absolutely.
No, I just think he's stupid.
No, he's very dumb.
He rides around in a palanquin as well. Like he's gets carried around by four dudes who lift him up on his little cart.
And, those poor dudes, man.
And he has his megaphone. It's a very if you've never seen how Japanese politicians campaign, they're riffing on that like a whole bunch, where they drive around in these little vans with like recordings or megaphones playing out of big speakers on the top and being like, vote for me, you know, kind of thing. And really just harangue people by driving through neighborhoods, making a lot of racket. And he's doing that here in Corain Village, and everybody hates it. It seems like
the neighbors hate it. The Faye family hates it. The local dog hates it. The guys fucking driving around the palanquin or whatever probably hate it.
They're getting paid at least.
He approaches us and he goes, hey, you're talking about the orb that Dr. Buff is supposed to give you, right? And we go, yeah, because apparently we can't keep our mouth shut. And he goes, well, that's my orb. You can't have it. And we go, okay, I'll see you later, man. Like, what the fuck are you going to do? You're in a box, idiot.
He does get out of the box later. But yeah,
he does, but only enforced under the rule of law. He must get out of the box.
No, well, that's the thing, though. We learn later that he is the one who pushed Apollo and Dirk in the cave.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's the cave part yet.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying. You were bringing up the courtroom segment. I figured it was safe.
They played the case or they didn't.
True. Either they played the case or they didn't. If they listened to
this. You guys know what's happening, I hope. If not, I'm so sorry.
Summarized at the start.
I would love it if a person who has no intention of ever playing these games only gets this information through the podcast.
I think that would be pretty funny.
I think that'd be kind of funny.
If you're out there, I love you. Just keep doing what you're doing.
So, if you're out there, have a good day. You know, drink some water. Take care of yourself.
I appreciate you so much.
So we go back to Archie Buff. Well, no, we talked to Pearl Fay, and Pearl Fay is like, hey, Apollo, I'll help you through anything. And Apollo goes like, you twitched. You're lying to me. I can tell. You're a liar, Pearl. And he goes, I feel so bad about checking Pearl whenever she lies to us, because she always feels so bad.
She doesn't have to, too. Like,
also, there's
it's
a little
always
bit
about stuff where it's like, you could have just told us, Pearl. It would have been okay.
Right. And then, like, I don't want to be I realize that the whole point of Pearl is that she's sheltered, right?
Yeah.
But she is 18 now, and she still kind of acts like a 12-year-old sometimes, right?
She's overflowing with humanity, bro.
She's drawing crayon drawings on the side of the street,
okay,
doodling people that walk past. And then when you ask her, did you see a man taking an orb? And she goes, no, mister, I didn't. And you're like, you're lying. you got to tell me, Pearl. And then she's like, okay. And it's like,
first of all,
you're 18, girl. That drawing... Just be honest with me.
She's on, never Pearl. Drawn before, okay? Like,
every
she's
artist has to
be so somewhere. Sheltered. She hasn't drawn before. They don't allow crayons in Crane.
No. We gotta help her. I think she has potential. Yeah. I just think.
This is somebody this is a crayon village. It's Crane village.
Yes, sorry, not Coraine, Crane.
Okay, so fucking through talking, I forgot that we talked to Sarge to get actual useful information. Also, Sarge's mother has died in a horrible fire.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Sarge's mother. We learn that he left with the orb, and then we go talk to Pearl, and Pearl's like, yeah, I saw Dr. Buff leave to the orb, and he went to a wet place, and we go, what's the nearest wet place? And she goes, oh, probably the cave in the mountain. And we're like, are we going there? And Dirk goes, hell yeah, we're going into the cave. We go to the cave. We find it, apparently. Dirk can just do that. There's some funny images of Apollo Justice in his little vest holding a torch while going through a cave. And it truly is like...
At this point, they have been pushed.
No, this is before they... Oh, yeah, you're right. I think they were pushed. Because they go into a cave. Yeah, you're right.
Like, they're like on the trail, and then they get pushed down like the side of a really steep hill.
Attempted murder, by the way.
Yeah.
They should have played the Fallen song from Undertale when he fell. I think that would have been very funny.
This is also Apollo... like the most like CGs, to use a very visual novel term, right, that we've gotten in a long time. Just like unique bespoke drawings, one-off, that are just used to just like illustrate like, oh, the fact that they're walking in a cave. Like normally Ace Attorney will just fade to black, right, and just have the dialogue play out and let you use the theater of your mind and just imagine people moving around or doing certain actions. But here they actually had some illustrations pop up, which was like, oh, okay, that's a fun way to elaborate on it. You guys don't do this often, you know.
We love Apollo.
It helped
JPEG,
right? And it helped I think a little bit with making the conversations between Apollo and Dirk feel a little bit more real, right? To you know, like they were actually traveling for a little bit while crawling around in these caves, as silly as it is.
they go into a cave and it gets dark, and then someone shoves them into a hole, and we don't know who this is yet, but deep down we know that it's a dirty, sneaky, lying politician.
And there's like glowing green moss everywhere, so they can kind of make things out a little bit at first, and then they do have a flashlight then as well.
They,
for our English viewers, that's a torch.
God, I really was like, we're English, but
we're not.
I know. You know what I meant?
For our English speakers.
Oh my lord. You knew what I meant. we go into this cave. It's wet. There's moss. There's a shrine. And on the shrine, there's a box with an orb in it. We take that. Yippee, we got the orb. There's water. The water is salty, which means it's connected to the ocean. Pearl mentioned that the ocean is close enough to the mountain that you can fucking smell it. And Dirk goes, I'll swim and get us a way out. And Apollo goes, I never learned to swim.
Learned to swim because you didn't teach me, Dad.
Did he not ever swim in elementary school when he was hanging out with Clay?
Yeah, we get our little backstory bit, too, in which...
I told you this was fucking retcon like the rest of Apollo.
Yeah, in which Apollo and Nayuta almost get swept away in a river when they're kids. And Dirk jumps in to save them. And then Dirk never goes, you know what? The fact that we live near a raging river, maybe I should teach my boys to swim. He just goes, you know what? I saved them once. I can do it again. It's fine.
Dude, I'll show you a hat trick. I can do it again. So, like, question. Can Nayuta swim? We don't know yet. We'll find out. Maybe he can still swim.
There'll be later when Nayuta and Dirk go into the cave back in Coraine, you know, and then Dirk has to save Nayuta. It's like poetry, it rhymes.
Very important to note that the entire reason Dirk is doing all of this is because he says verbatim, I want to save Sad Mari or some shit like that. And it's like, okay, dude, I guess he already seems pretty whipped by the regime, though. So,
yeah, we get a little bit more elaboration from Dirk's perspective, right? In that Niyuta supposedly, again, was going to work on things from the inside out. But what happened to him, man? Where'd I go wrong raising my son?
He became a Hello Kitty fan.
I don't know. Did you try teaching him to swim?
That would have freed him.
That couldn't hurt.
It wouldn't have made the situation worse.
So,
Korean's a landlocked country. It's fine.
So Dirk swims out, and we're like alone with Apollo. And then the cave starts to fill up with water.
Yeah.
It becomes a little point and click adventure for a second where you have to like escape and you have to like click on stuff to like keep yourself afloat. It's very funny because there's a water bottle, and every time you click on the water bottle, he goes like, oh, I know, if I fill it up with air, I can breathe it and live. Wait, that's stupid. I'm going to go to the log. I don't want to die. And like, this happened several times. I kept clicking on that bottle thinking it was going to save me.
Like you were going to make a little air tank out of it.
Exactly. Eventually, the water fills up too much, but luckily Dirk managed to get him. And just like as a child, he saved Apollo once again from the watery death he was consigned to.
He was not taken by the brine.
He was not taken by the brine. He doesn't have that weird pond disease.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And also Dirk's explanation for how he got back here is wild.
It makes perfect sense to me.
He's like, oh yeah, I swam out. I found a way out into the ocean. And then I bumped into a fisherman on a boat and told him to throw me back over here so I could save you.
Nice.
Okay.
I mean, it works, man. It works. You know, he just did it. He's that baller, okay? He's got charisma. Because
he's got that Korean charisma.
He's not a cult leader. He's a rebel leader. God, there's a distinct difference. One of them's about the faith. The other one's about fucking freedom rights.
Yeah.
So we just make it back to Korean Village, no problem. And the second we get there, we see our funny, good, cool mentor, Phoenix Wright. And we're like, hey, boss, I found the orb for my client. And Phoenix Wright goes, no, you found the orb for my client. And we go, what do you mean? And he goes, what do you mean? That's my orb. Give it. And we're like, no. What? And then I swear to God, like, it was like a WWE match where he goes, I'm going to fucking fight you in the court. And we're going to fucking take off the fucking gloves. Apollo. You don't want to do this, man. I will swing.
Yeah.
I think this is sick. You know what I mean? I think this is straight up what I wanted personally, which is in every JRPG, you get to fight the previous protagonist, and the previous protagonist is in like training on the mountaintop. But instead of a mountaintop, Phoenix Wright's been drinking wine inside of a bar. And now we get to fight him.
Right.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. And, Phoenix really does like try to like put on the air, right? Of like, no, I'm gonna go sicko mode on you. Like, I'm doing this for real. I will not go easy on you, Apollo. And yeah, there's a little bit of like, you know, the student has to beat the master to fully graduate, right? Kind of vibes going on here.
Mm-hmm.
But we do get that initial like little hint that something is going a little awry, right? Because A, why would Phoenix work for politician? That seems a little strange. And B, we do also, I don't know if anybody caught this at the time, but we get like one line that mentions that like Miles Edgeworth was also poking around Crane Village, right?
And I want like, to see what? My little boy. Like,
what's that about? I don't know. Oh, he was just around here. Oh, okay. Strange.
Your little man.
Yeah. I don't know. What could that mean?
Fucking it's funny because I was under the impression that Miles Edgeworth was just out here because Phoenix Wright called him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, hey, Miles, I'm really in it, man. I'm going to need your help for this one. And Miles is like, what do you mean? And Phoenix Wright goes, what do you mean? What do you mean?
Miles has been kidnapped again.
Can you use all your contacts to help
Come
me
help
out?
Me.
Please help me. Charter a plane, please, baby.
Miles Edgeworth takes his glasses in his hand. He crushes it with one hand, opens up the shelf, pulls out another pair of glasses, and goes, I'm on my way.
I love his reading glasses.
I'm on my way.
What's the point of being chief prosecutor if you aren't going to utilize all the resources available to you?
Included it up for his glasses.
Yeah.
that's my bit.
Yep.
So we go to court the next day, and Athena Sykes decides to finally show the fuck up. I swear to God, Athena, are you fucking kidding me? I really goddamn needed you yesterday. And she goes, what's happening? What's going on? Where's the boss? And Trucy is distraught. I don't... They really treat like if... So here's a confession. I die several times while playing this court case. Because
I also came close to death, actually. I was on the struggle bus a little.
Like, that's not... You just lose the case. You die.
Yeah, I died. I straight up Dark Souls died. I left my souls in a location. I had to go pick them up during the boss fight.
Gotcha.
If you lose this case, what happens is the orb does not go to your client. It goes to politician. The reason Dirk wants the orb is because he goes, I want to bring the orb back to Corain to like kickstart the revolution. This is the object we need, the MacGuffin. But if he doesn't get it, it says the revolution died this day. And then you go back to the office and it says your relationship with Phoenix Wright was never quite the same. The only word to describe it was awkward. And I'm like, damn, this is like the fucking equivalent of like in Donkey Kong Country when you lose and like Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong are all beat up. It fucking... I felt it, bro. I was like, damn, this one actually got me. Fucking.
It's one of the rare, you know.
So the implication is that Phoenix never tells him that he was being blackmailed.
Yeah, so that means Phoenix Wright was the one making it awkward. He was guilty the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's his fault, not mine.
It's his fault, not yours. You're a professional, and you realize that if you fought your boss, you'd be really normal about it.
Yeah.
I love that the fucking judge is like, aren't you guys in the same office? And we go, yeah. And he goes, all right, but don't make this weird, okay? Everyone be really normal about this. So yeah. Fucking funny.
The judge is delightful in this. He's just like, all right, I guess we're doing this. Everybody be normal.
Yeah. And in the like initial face-off, like as things like start off, you get some of that competent Phoenix Wright, you know?
Yeah, non-player character Phoenix Wright. NPC Phoenix Wright is a competent ass motherfucker.
I mean, I think it's the same thing always, right? Where like he's always just panicking on the inside, but we don't get to see it because we're not his little pixie right now.
I mean, we do get to see it a little bit, you know, in this case, because there is one moment in which it's closer to the end in which it seems like you've got it wrapped up, right? And then you have, like, you see this moment where, like, the gears are turning in Phoenix's head, and you can see him go, wait a minute. No, actually, I've got one more thing. And you're like, God damn it, he's fucking pulling one out of his ass again.
He's doing it again.
He's fucking bluffing. Shit.
Phoenix Ice calls him, like, the turnabout terror.
This is the first time that anybody's ever said this, I swear.
I've never heard it before.
Nobody's ever said this before except for Athena this one time. She's like, I'm trying to make it a thing.
It's cute. It's charming.
It's pretty good. I love fighting against Phoenix Wright because when he does the same exact shit that we do, we get really pissed about it. Because he straight up accuses Dats of killing Archie Boff, and it's like, bro, this isn't even a murder case. What the fuck are you doing? This is just about the orb. Why'd you have to bring this into it? And yeah. He goes, well, if he killed him, that would null the agreement for the orb. And it's like, you're right, but what the fuck, dude? That's my friend. Oh my god. It really is like, I finally feel the pain that, like, all the wins, all the Payne brothers, Miles, Francisca, Godot, Gavin, fucking,
I feel like Godot was...
Simon Blackwell.
Godot was kind of handling it.
It's so funny that, like, finally in court we're like, alright, this is a normal court case, alright? There's only one accused murderer, and then the guy across the bench just goes, actually, motherfucker, there's another.
Yeah.
So fucking funny to me.
Yeah. It's good. It's a good dynamic, and like all these characters here basically that we're interacting with are some of our like best buddies, and so it's nice to finally like seeing them bounce off of each other in this slightly different situation, right? You know, to finally
like not back and forth in like a friendly way. It's like a rivalry kind of back and forth.
Well, it's like I guess what's the way to put it? It's about like Apollo's growth. It's about him finally like trying to not usurp, but you know, beat Phoenix at his own game and prove mm-hmm. that he can do this for real. And also, you know, in a way, like the way they phrase it and or the way they kind of portray it at the end, right, is that he's also saving Phoenix, right? Phoenix does a little bit of this, like, I almost lost my way, you know, Apollo, thank you, you know, because I almost lost sight of the truth, but you were there to put me right back on the right track kind of thing. They do a little bit of that.
Yeah, too. I guess, like, you didn't really have a choice, but sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, I kind of wish that this Athena had been being, a confrontation.
Athena being like, I don't know if I should say anything, like, deadass, I would have been like, Apollo, you would not fucking believe what I just heard.
Right. That is the thing that comes up here at your last break, your last like intermission, you know, Athena overhears that from Phoenix when she sneaks over to his lobby. She overhears about the Maya kidnapping thing that happened. And she's like, and then Phoenix sees her and goes, don't you dare say a word to this about don't tell him. And she doesn't. She keeps her lips sealed. And then
who listens to their boss?
And then tells you in the middle of court when she's like, okay, so Apollo, there's this thing going on, actually. This is why Phoenix is freaking out right now. And Apollo's like, what the fuck? Why didn't you tell me sooner?
This is unrealistic. She would have immediately posted in the secret group chat.
Yeah.
That's really Athena funny posting. To
they would have had to make a new. Emoji. They would have had to make a new secret group chat that didn't have Phoenix in it.
It's so.
I mean,
funny.
Yeah, that's the point of the secret group chat, is that your boss doesn't know about the secret group chat.
Yeah,
I can't believe there's just a group chat.
They have Phoenix in a group chat called secret group chat, so that Phoenix thinks he's part of the secret group chat, but he's actually not.
There's just a group chat dedicated to like, hey, Trucy, Athena, I think Phoenix Wright drank a little too much tonight. He's lying on the couch and he keeps asking about fucking Edgeworth. What do we do? And Athena just says, Lamau.
They need to put a fucking, like, they need to put a mic, they need to microchip Maya.
Uh-huh. Unrelated to the group chat, we need to microchip Maya.
She needs
Maya
to stop.
Needs to be in the group chat.
Yeah. Oh, you know Maya's fucking hilarious in the group chat.
Dude, she's posting the sickest memes,
good
bro.
Maya's probably good at posting.
Dude, she has so many.
Oh my god,
so
Maya would be
chill...
so good at posting. Fuck yeah.
She has so many good Steel Samurai memes.
Pearly would be ironically, unironically funny. Like, she's not trying to be. She's not trying to have that fucking bullshit humor, but she's got it. Like, you know how the Facebook mom humor loops around and is actually funny again?
Oh, she's posting like minion memes, but like dead ass.
She's earnest about them. Yeah, she's a very earnest
post an earnest poster.
Yeah.
She's overflowing with posters.
Like, it's hilarious because it's just so fucking like batshit. But she thinks it's like, hee hee, look at this little yellow guy.
Yeah.
She's so happy.
Pearl is like posting on like, you know, like niche internet forums that are just like mostly otherwise like 60-year-old women just posting about like arts and crafts, and she's like, here's an image I drew today.
She would love to do the sponge painting.
Oh my god, bro. That's actually insane.
You're gonna have to include that video in you're gonna have to include that video in the description below on YouTube.
But yeah, Maya's like seven layers of irony, you know, posting out here.
Uh-huh.
And nobody else gets in. She's like, y'all need to get on my level.
I think, I don't know, man. I actually just lost everything for a second.
Phoenix just learned how to use emojis, right?
Oh yeah.
Somebody just showed him how to turn the emoji keyboard on.
Yeah, he's just barely you know, he's very, you know, he's you know, probably, you know, he's an elder millennial, you know, if we're going by the timeline. So, you know, he's still just doing like very kind of normie emoji posting. He uses the thumbs up emoji and like Maya makes fun of him for that, you know. That
bro,
kind of
I use the thumbs up emoji.
What we're elder millennials.
Emoji all the time.
That's the thing.
We're mid-range millennials.
Yeah, okay, yeah. We're
why is there a mirror at the fucking zoo? I think the funniest thing about fucking Phoenix Wright being online is that I would imagine him being like the guy who like put his phone up to the radio to record it for a ringtone. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
Fucking, we gotta go back to court for a second. There's a court case that's happening next door between Apollo Wright and Phoenix Wright Justice, and I said
Apollo Wright and Phoenix Justice.
I said what I said, and I'm sticking to it. It's like a cage match. It's like a title match. We interview Emma Scott because for some reason Phoenix Wright said to himself, I'm going to have expert witnesses and testimony. And we go, okay, are we allowed to do that? Or like, what's up, man? And the judge goes, I don't know. I guess he did it. He just pulls out. We talk to Emma Scott, who talks about the forensics of the scene, but doesn't talk about the fact that there's potentially a murder. We talk to Buff, the sergeant, who goes, you guys are trying to hide the real killer. And we're like, we're not, man. This motherfucker just accused somebody for no reason. He does this shit all the time. He can't keep getting away with this. So fucking funny. We do therapy on Sarge because now, for some reason, in this particular game, we're doing a therapy on patients who actually need therapy.
Right. Yep.
Well, I guess that's good.
It's an upgrade. It's an improvement, as opposed to like us going to the judge being like, Your Honor, our client's losing it. And the client is like, I'm actually kind of fine. And then, Theta goes, she can't even stand, bro.
And this time, you know, Sarge actually needs it. And we help her out and get her to come out of her shell. And by that, we mean stop using the drone to talk all the time.
Come out into the real world.
She's a 12-year-old little girl with a army fascination, and her name is Army Buff.
I was kind of wondering, like, because at one point she starts insulting everybody by calling them capitalists, and I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
The church just calls people capitalist pigs. Yeah, she was in the Red Army.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know what? Good.
That was actually a weird bit that I didn't think I needed follow through on, but thank you for doing so.
Yeah,
and I'm following through. I love it.
We also get a very brief fake out, right? Because Apollo and Athena keep referring to Sarge as with he him pronouns, right? Because they just assume that the kid obsessed with army stuff is a boy,
and they sound like a boy,
and they just had the voice modulator on the drone apparently modifies the voice enough that they can't tell
to sound like an older man,
to sound like a sergeant, right, kind of thing. And Phoenix, of course, keeps using gender neutral pronouns the whole time, right? Just says like the child, you know, or something like that, or the kid. And that is like us, like, it's not really like a reveal per se, but like Apollo and Athena act shocked for a moment. But it's like the second you read any of the dialogue going on around it, you're like, oh, I think I know what's going on here, because Phoenix keeps not referring to the kid with any pronouns. They just keep saying the kid, the child.
The child.
The child.
So that happens. And, you know, she's a little kid. You know, she's freaked out because she's now a fucking orphan. She had to see both of her parents get horribly killed in one jumping out of a fucking window while cradling her.
Insane behavior.
From a fire, you know, in arson. And the other one getting a, you know, 200-pound suitcase dropped on his head and crushing his skull in. And she's like, well, I'm going to be normal about this.
I guess I'll be normal now. Stands up.
Yeah, she does that at the end, yeah.
Well, she only does that...
She performs the Jesus miracle and stands.
Well...
She reveals that she's been able to stand for, like, a little while and just didn't want to because would mean she has to go outside.
Yeah.
Honestly relatable, but a little extreme.
We also, she also helps us realize that the murderer was someone else who's at the scene, who wasn't Dats, because that's our homie. Our guy would never kill somebody unless they were a capitalist
pig. Here's
the
thing is, like, I think Dats would kill. I think Dats can, would, and has killed somebody.
Yeah, but not in this specific instance. He's not guilty for this one.
Like, he's a former paratrooper.
Yeah.
A man has killed.
He has claimed lives before, but not this one.
This time.
It's so funny, right? Because we have to have, like, Dats and Dirk be, like, rebels, and they're leading a revolution, but yet we gotta dance around the fact about anybody dying or anybody murdering anyone, right? You know, like, oh, well, it's a bloodless revolution, right? You know, is kind of like the vibes around it a little bit. Because we just conveniently always just smooth over any details about, well, wait, they're setting off bombs. You know, we saw them set off an explosion. But did anybody get hurt in that or killed? You know, don't worry about it.
Something that is also interesting is that we have to interrogate a person who apparently saw Dats leave the crime scene and also apparently anonymously reported this murder. And we all know who that great person is.
Who could it be?
Politician Whipperson.
The only other NPC in this game.
In this court case.
Yes, in this court case, excuse me.
His full name is Politician Whipperson.
Is that funny?
Is this the worst pun?
No.
Fuck. Shit.
What the fuck is it? How can it be worse than politician?
It just is.
I said, you'll know it. You'll know it when it happens. Trust me.
I thought I knew it. I said, this is it. This is stupid. But no.
But it wasn't.
I also thought, like, that guy whose name was, like, Prey Zealot was the one. I was like, this is dumb.
Dead ass, that was one of the worst puns, actually.
Because it was super anonymous. Obvious, but it was also, like, really cringe.
Yeah.
There's part of me that's, like, wonders that once we get to the name that I'm thinking of, that you guys will be like, oh, well, I think the other ones are still worse.
Yeah, and you really built this up.
And you might. But I don't know. It's
the
just,
only way to keep this going is to keep building up.
Yeah, we just gotta get there. We gotta get there, and we'll get there before the end of this case. So don't worry.
I mean, we literally have to. This is the end of the game. There's no other.
I mean, there's a DLC case after this, but it's not in the DLC case.
Paul provides a lot of testimony that's like very specifically easy. Like the only way you could have known that is if you were there, man.
Right. Yeah, we have to kind of break down a bunch of his little wimpy lies And it kind of, I don't know. The testimony with Paul is not too difficult, I found, but his animations with him crushing his little nameplate, you know, for his father and grandfather, yeah, his grandfather's nameplate, which
yeah, it said eight for like 2 seconds.
Yeah. Or Abe.
Excuse me, it would be Abe.
Yeah. So in case you wanted to make any fun contraption jokes, soda pop
oh,
jokes.
Oh, Abe? Shit, I thought it was Abe.
Yeah, like Shinzo Abe.
God, fuck.
Do you think politician deserves the soda popper?
I think
politician. I was gonna say it, but I was like, maybe not. But
do
no,
I?
Unhinged. He killed a man. He committed a murder and attempted to commit another, and also threatened to kill my personal friend Maya.
Yep.
Kamen Rider Black Sun.
Uh huh. I'm aware
go
of the
on.
Context.
Go. Yeah, it's the funniest context possible. I can't believe Paul almost got away with this because he had the greatest fucking boxer in his corner, Phoenix Wright. He was the right choice after all. Fucking, I really like the fact that we got to fight Phoenix Wright. I'm going right now.
Yeah,
fuck,
no.
Nope. Keep this in.
This is what happens okay. when we late night podcasts.
It's dude.
As yeah,
I need to get tucked in.
Well, we're bro. Close to the end. the founder's orb, then, we pull it out in the middle of court, right? Mm-hmm. Because the crux of it is it really the founder's orb, or is it the crystal of Amifei? And if it reacts and behaves like the founder's orb should, then presumably it's the founder's orb. And since we learn from Army that her dad like lit it on fire and somehow saw a face in it, Apollo says, well, wait, that lines up with the lyrics of the Holy Mother's Prayer. So let's go ahead and light this orb on fire. And we get a very silly scene in which Apollo pulls out his lighter and he and Athena motion captured like very human motions walk over to this orb.
It's so unsettling.
Light a fire underneath the orb, which makes the face of the Holy Mother appear. But it's a fully motion captured scene.
Just animate it. Just do a regular animation, guys.
It just kind of moved just a little too like limberly or something. I don't know.
Something to also consider is that this entire time, I was working under the presumption that simply the Founder's Orb and the Crystal of Amifei are the very same object.
Right.
Like, is it not possible that Amifei is, in fact, the Holy Mother? Has anyone considered this in court? Am I the only one who's read a story with narrative and themes?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Perhaps a twist.
Dude, this twist is coming literally kilometers away. I can see it. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. But yeah, we win this court case, and it is a slugfest to get through this court case, because every time we prove something, Phoenix Wright puts his hands in his head and goes, think, motherfucker, think! And he actually has a response. And one of them is straight up like, that isn't the Founder's Orb because you didn't prove the legend. And we're all just like, were we supposed to? What the fuck are you talking
about?
You used
fire on the orb, but what's supposed to happen after you use fire on the orb and see the face is that you're supposed to receive spiritual power. And since you didn't receive spiritual power, it's not really the Founder's Orb. And Apollo's like,
even the judge is like, no, this is too far, Phoenix.
This is a little silly now. Come on, man.
I love that the judge straight up goes like, do you need water, man? Like, I know you don't want to lose, but like, dude, come on. And
God,
like,
I need water.
Apollo goes like, dude, is their boss okay? Like, he's talking like magic is real. And meanwhile, this is coming from Apollo Justice, user of the Psycho Eye Attack, and then Athena Sykes, user of the Psycho Ear attack.
That's not magic. They're just the X-Men.
That's true. It's a distinct difference. Being immune doesn't mean you're freaks. Magical. They're different. You're right. I'm sorry, Your Honor. They're X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. But Phoenix Wright isn't. He's just like a guy who won't shut the fuck up because I want to win this court case.
Oh. And this is also like when Phoenix like holds his head in his hands, right? And like is like gets very like, oh no, Maya, I failed you kind of thing. And Apollo's like, damn, what's up with him? And Athena responds with, oh yeah, well, I wasn't supposed to tell you, but there's blackmail and kidnapping going on here.
I can't believe that she didn't fucking tell us. What the fuck, bro?
She wouldn't be able to keep her mouth shut in reality. The Athena I know.
The Athena I know would live tweet that shit.
That's like my family curse. Like, my sister, my mom. I'm not gonna lie, me. We can't keep a fucking secret. We have to tell somebody.
You can't keep a secret?
I can't keep, unless it's like a dire, deep, dark secret that you truly, truly, like, do not want me to tell somebody. Like, if I'm like, somebody, I got you a Christmas gift, and it's like fucking March 1st, I'm gonna be like, so I got you for Christmas.
You actually straight up did, like, tell me what you got me for my birthday, like, way before my birthday happened.
Well, I bought it for you before your birthday, and it went right to you, because that's how Steam works.
Okay, well, am I wrong?
I mean, sure.
Am I wrong? But I'm not wrong. Your Honor, I'm
we'll
right.
Talk to your fellow Helldiver.
I gotta go get a drink of water.
Rose, are you actually getting up to get a drink of water?
Well, I was thinking, well, it was kind of a bit, but now maybe I should, huh?
Wait, we can get through
I'll
this.
Think about it.
We'll think about it. We prove that the orb is the Founder's orb, because we prove that the guy who killed Archie Buff was not our client, it was Phoenix Wright's client. He got the fucking turnabout. You like that motherfucker?
Yeah.
He's a shit asshole accusing Dats of being a murderer. What are you doing, idiot? We prove it because, like, and here's kind of the funny part, is that normally in a case, whenever, like, a person kills somebody, I feel like we have to go through a lot of work to prove that the murderer did it. Meanwhile, Apollo just was like, oh, here's how he did it. Here's how he did it. You know, like, he's just like, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. Here's how it works. It makes perfect sense, right? And he goes, and Phoenix Wright just goes, fuck, that makes perfect sense. Please don't acquit my client. Please don't accuse my client of being a murderer. Please don't do it.
We have, like, the indication of genuine physical evidence, which is his fingerprints are probably on Sarge's chair. So, like,
right,
you know, this is what we come to prove.
And yeah,
it's like, let's get him.
Fuck him up.
Get him.
And we it's have our funny. Brain blast.
Yeah, we did
the
brain
blast.
Which is like, honestly, like, I don't really like the brain blast thing and the concept of it's just like so fucking silly. But at the same time, it's like, oh my god, this case is almost over. Thank god.
We need the brain blast because it's, you know what other video game has like a brain blast like mechanic?
Hmm.
Trigger Happy Havoc Danganronpa.
Uh huh.
It kind of has a brain blast mechanic, you know? You get to surf and you get to you surf your way to the truth, you know?
Right.
No, I actually think in the first one he used a skateboard, then he used a surfboard in the second one. My apologies. But I keep my timeline true, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Of course. You almost you must always keep your Danganronpas straight.
You gotta do it, you know? It's a bad if you let them mix, it gets bad news.
If you mix them up, then that's Danganronpa.
All right, everybody, that was the podcast. Have a good night.
Uh-huh. All right. So I leaned back away in my chair for that one. We figured out that it was dipshit McGee over there, politician, because the suitcase was used to kill Archie Buff because it's a very heavy suitcase. Dax, we gotta talk about what the fuck you're putting in that suitcase. But we're doing that later. He threw it off the second floor onto this first floor and killed the guy with it. Then used books to cover up the body to make it look like Dax did it. But he had to push a passed out army buff back into her room. And that's when his prince got onto the chair. Bing, bada, boom. That moron's guilty. I'm accusing him of murder. Phoenix Wright, I know damn well that Maya Faye is being kidnapped, and I don't give a shit. I'm smarter than you. I can figure out a way to solve it. Because I'm that motherfucker.
Right.
Dragon, never yield.
Dragon never yields.
I hate that voice acting line too. It's so out of place.
What do you mean?
The fact that it's the same every single time. It's identical. Yeah.
And then they fucking, it happens, right? And then they do that thing that this game is loving to do where they show you a flashback of a thing that happened like 30, like not even 30 minutes ago.
More like 30 seconds ago.
30 seconds ago. Like, yeah. Like, it hasn't been that long. I remember what happened.
I was here. I was playing the game. I remember.
Yeah, I put my DS and walked away from make tea for a little bit, but like, it really wasn't that long. I remember.
And, I mean, the main, like, trick, right, is that you need Maya, right? And that's why you can't get rid of her, Paul. That's why you can't send the signal to get rid of Maya is, well, you actually need her. And there's also a throwaway line where it's like, and you wouldn't be able to bribe Pearl to do it either because you threatened her cousin, so can't count on using Pearl either. So that's
Pearl would,
right,
Pearl
out
would kill you in unarmed combat,
right? She would,
you'd
suplex
be dead before
you.
You even knew what was coming.
That kind of takes Paul out, and he has his little breakdown animation, right? And with him like getting the election results on like TV, but then realizing like having the scandal like come up on as like a news flash kind of thing. So it's fun. It's cute.
It's funny that it's like straight up a hallucination he has.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it just cuts to the judge, and the judge is like, damn, we should get somebody in here.
That man is hallucinating. Please get somebody. Somebody help.
Yeah,
that's the case. And then we meet Phoenix Wright outside after having a funny little, well, first of all, army buff comes up and goes, wow, Apollo, you really helped me, and now I feel brave enough to stand on my two feet. And she literally does. She gets up.
Yeah,
yay,
congratulations on me.
And then Phoenix Wright comes in and goes, bad news, gang. We don't have Maya. She's in the kingdom of Kuraiin. To which my response is, how did someone kidnap a person and bring them to another country? Did they also kidnap her passport?
Well, she's still there, right?
Oh, she never made it back to America.
She never left.
That's
the point.
Yeah.
That makes way more sense, honestly.
She never left. She's just always been in Kuraiin this whole time. But yes.
Okay, now I get it.
We get it. We get like a little bit of, you know, like, oh, the kidnapper was politician's benefactor. You know, it was somebody who was, they were just telling him to get the orb for them. They were in Kuraiin the whole time. So now we got to go to Kuraiin.
Yeah. Never going back, baby.
Now the
we're
whole
going
crew's
back.
Gonna have to go back and deal with Saad Mahdi again.
I fucking hate that guy.
Well,
I'm so sorry. Just hate him. He sucks.
He has a little bit more time to prove himself.
My condolences to see. This is my further evidence for why Derek is so shitty. He's like, how did my son turn out like this? And I'm like, well, he fucking did, didn't he? Whose fault is that? Consider.
Yeah. Maybe you should brush up on your parenting skills, Dirk.
Interesting. Are you telling me that in the time he was using to lead the Defiant Dragons, he could have been a decent father?
He was perhaps neglecting his son.
It was very funny when they had a scene to hang out with each other, and Dirk's like, so how you doing? Paul just goes, fine. And then they just stop talking.
That was realistic, though.
That's real.
Let's have a talk. How you doing? I'm okay.
Cool.
Good talk.
Yeah. Funny shit, dude. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's fun to get Apollo and Phoenix facing off against each other. There's part of me that does wish that it was that Phoenix was not under duress for it, right? And that there was like a genuine face-off between the two of them, just as in like Phoenix is just straight up testing Apollo. Can you do this, right?
And then wondering if
kind of thing.
It's so funny that it would be like Phoenix doing that when he barely does it every single fucking time.
Right.
I need to make sure that you live up to the right anything agency, you know, whatever. And he's like literally just barely scraping by.
The flying by the seat of your pants standard. I think we're already there.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, either Maya's been kidnapped, option A, or option B, like maybe he's sort of playing the angle of trying like find some stuff out from this guy who's very obviously like just a pawn.
Yeah.
So I was like, it could be one or the other. Nah, turned out Maya was kidnapped again, but you know, what can you do?
It happens. Apparently, at least it happens. Maya's good at getting herself into trouble.
I guess maybe we should microchip her.
Yeah.
I think that's a fine suggestion.
Well, who knows? Maybe that could be useful in the rest of this case. We'll find out soon. Any predictions before we kind of go into the next big chunk?
We're killing the queen consort. He's dead, and we're gonna figure out his murder.
That's your prediction? Okay,
that's my prediction. And that's why they're gonna accuse Dirk, is because they're like, of course the rebel leader killed the queen consort.
Okay, this is gonna be like a thing where it's like, and now. Like he's was kind of like the main evil guy, and now it's like, oh, now we gotta like convince the queen to be on our side, and we'll get Rafa on our side, kind of thing, you know?
No, because there's gotta be one more
happy
twist.
Happy family kind of stuff.
Yeah, that like the queen killed him or whatever. I predict a half thought through and ham fisted attempt to redeem Sadmati.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was always coming, wasn't it?
Is that even a prediction?
Not really.
We know how these games works.
It's just gonna be like that. I want to play as Maya.
Okay.
Maya court.
Okay.
I don't know if we'll be in court. We'll probably just be running around in some kidnapper rooms or whatever.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to see if any of your predictions come true then next time. You can keep up with the show via our website, updatedautopsy.report, which will give you links to everything, all of our socials and all the Let's Plays and all that good stuff. You can follow me on pretty much all social media at Yotsuben. Nessie, where can people find you?
Somewhere out there.
And Tiago?
At Tiago S. Dutra on Twitter, artist formerly known as Twitter, Linktree in bio. It's
still fucking Twitter.
It's still, I listen.
Twitter to me.
Yeah.
And Rose?
You can find me at Rose Nonsense on co-host and some other places, probably, who knows? And I don't know, maybe just walking around Boston. You never know when you'll see me.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. We hope you'll rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform.
Please, please, please.
Next time, we will be playing all of the next investigation phases.
What?
There are a couple investigation phases back to back. We're going to just play all the investigation phases. And then after that, it's all court to the end. So we're going to do all investigation next.
Wait, really?
Yes.
No court?
It's to be a little bit more specific. There are there's like a bunch of investigation phases. There's three investigation chunks.
Three?
Yeah, there's like three investigation chunks.
Oh yeah, this case is like 15 hours long.
And then after that, there are you're gonna kill me. And after that, there are three court chunks.
Three?
And we're gonna do all three investigation chunks next here.
Oh my gosh!
Now some
have
of those
directed this
some
game?
Some
we're
of
all
those,
gonna die.
Now some of those chunks are some of those chunks are shorter than others, right? But that's how the game divides them up that way. So that's what we're doing. We're still breaking this case up into three chunks because otherwise we just with work and our own schedules, we wouldn't make it. So forgive us, listeners, for breaking up one case into three portions, but this is how we're doing it. So if you're playing along next time, do the next three investigation phases, and when it tells you, oh, we're going to court, you can stop. That's where we're going to be talking about next time.
If you're playing along, you're so strong.
If you're not playing along. If you're not playing along, you're a Chad, actually. You're actually a fucking Giga Chad.
Alrighty.
You heard the man.
Alright. That's your homework. Good luck, everybody. See you next time. Bye.
Be strong. Bye.
Be strong.
Be strong.
Getting ready.
Attack.
Let's go.
Locking S foils in attack position.
What the fuck is happening?
Wednesday activated.
Wednesday activated. Is that what it is?
Wednesday.
We've activated. Uh-oh, my Wednesday's activated. Just like
Wednesday's
my charcoal.
Activated.
Activated charcoal. Fucking hate that shit. Activated charcoal's bullshit.
This is me trying out for a video game protagonist. My name
Here
is
are my barks.
Here are my barks. Let's go! I can't believe it. Whoa! Boing!
What is the boing?
Me when I see a woman?
Me when I whip it out?
No! I wouldn't!
Well...
He
Your sound effect implies otherwise,
juice.
Sir.
I can't do a wolf whistle.
It's okay. Because
I can't whistle.
I can't whistle either.
What Aww. The? Wait. Was that you, Des?
Yes.
Yeah, my wife can wolf whistle.
Holy shit, Des.
Whenever... I can whistle?
Whenever we go out, the people always shout. Whenever we go out, I'm always like, hey, honey, there's a fucking hot a wat Bahamian. Go ahead and wolf whistle at her. And then Jenny does.
Can't do it on command.
I can't do it on command. Oh, no, you're proving me a liar.
Yes, I can. I'm joking.
Oh, proven me a liar.
I don't even know what's happening.
There we go.
Yeah, we got there. We did
it,
team.
Honest to God, attempt to whistle.
Yeah, go ahead. You whistle a little.
You're like 60% of the way there.
Yeah, that's the start.
I didn't realize Ben couldn't whistle until like a year and a half ago.
Yeah,
it just never occurred to me to like think about it.
It's just one of those things.
Rose, can you whistle?
Not terribly well, if I'm honest.
Can you give us just an honest to God try?
Money.
You have noise suppression by Crisp on?
I do. Hold on.
And it was a noise suppression by Crisp. Judged your whistling wanting.
Hold on. Okay, here we go.
That's like a teapot whistle.
That's way better than mine.
It's because you have European blood inside of you.
And Doc's freaking out, so I'm gonna turn noise suppression by Crisp back on.
I can that whistle.
I hit those dog frequencies. I got the.
I can't do the finger whistle thing though, where you like put your fingers in your.
Dude, that's what I want to do. I want to go to a burlesque show and do the whistle.
I don't even know how to do it.
Me neither. I should look up a tutorial. How to do finger.
What's the best use of our time?
I've timed out Izza.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, take listen.
Breath and close your mouth.
We're all recording, right?
Yeah.
This is like primo podcast material. Don't worry.
Jesus.
This is going to go in the intro or outro, or, you know?
All of it.
It'll be fine.
I liked the part where I whistled and the recording heard it.
See, I'm just joking. You don't have to put your fingers that far back.
Jesus.
Use two fingers. Press the end of your index and thumb finger together. Open your mouth and stretch your lips over your teeth.
That's how that sounds, yeah.
Move your tongue back in your mouth.
Uh-huh.
Then put your index and thumb in your mouth.
Uh-huh.
Take a deep breath and close your mouth around your fingers. Keep your lips stretched over your teeth. The only gap between your lips should be the space between your fingers. That is where the air will come out when you whistle. Blow air through your fingers and out of your mouth. Okay, that's it.
All right.
Okay. Let me give it a good old honest to God try. It's just like when David beat Goliath.
I don't know about this.
This is great podcast material. Just about four people just all going like sucking on their fingers.
I did it one time, I think, like somebody tried to explain to me how to do it, and I did it one time and I was like, oh my god, and then I never did it again.
All right, I'm
take your
this.
Fingers, put them together, put them in your mouth.
And off.
Profit?
Yep.
I'm not doing this.
All right. I'm not doing it either. I'm not doing it.
Uh-huh.
He's not doing it.
All right, I'm actually done.
You're good to go?
I don't know if I can do it because I have long fingernails.
I hurt my tongue.
There. Okay, what are we clapping?
Time dot is, right?